disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. You want to keep going?
Sure.
They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. When the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight, he said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I wash, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out.
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains."
Thank you. That's a great little story, isn't it? It really goes along with what we were talking about with Lee in the beginning about our focus. But I am. The first thing I like was that if you look at John 1:1, and it's the scripture we're all familiar with, it says, "In the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so the beginning in the book of John is God from eternity past. You know, God is the beginning. It's not Jesus being born in Bethlehem or Adam being created in the garden. The beginning in the book of John goes all the way back to God in eternity, the Word that was with God. And so it says, a man was born blind from his birth, and his beginning would be when this man's beginning was, when he was born out of his mama's womb. His beginning happened when he was born. And that's probably, what, 20, 30 years before, you know, it certainly is an eternity past. It's just his beginning. You know, my beginning happened 36 years ago on my birthday. And your beginning is your birthday, however many years ago you were born. But that's not really the place to begin. But from his birth, he was born blind. And if we start at our own beginning, we're all blind. You know, in our first birth, we were born blind. Now, this man, his eyes were impaired. He couldn't see physically. So it looked like he was the only blind person, because his eyes couldn't see light in the natural. But the truth is, everyone is born blind from their first birth. Every human being is born blind in the natural man, in the natural birth, in our natural earthly beginning. Nobody's spiritual eyes are opened. We are not born again at new birth. We're just born as human beings with the capacity to receive salvation and become filled and enlightened by the Holy Spirit to see Jesus. But everybody is born blind. Everybody in this town is blind. Everybody in Jerusalem and in Israel is blind. And everyone in the whole world is blind from their birth. But this one man happened to be born physically blind to make a point to us today, 2,000 years later. You know what I mean? That there is God is trying to say something. And so everybody's going, why was he born blind? Was it because of sin? Were his parents in adultery when he was conceived? Maybe he did something that, you know, generational curse came on his eyes for iniquity. And even, you know, I think the disciples asked Jesus these questions.
Right.
Did he sin? Did his parents sin that he was born blind? And Jesus says, this man has not sinned. His parents didn't sin. He's born blind that the Word of God might be made manifest through him, that we might comprehend what God is really doing through this guy. This guy is our physical lab experiment example to make it easy for all of us to figure out the real situation for the whole world. So he wasn't born being able to see, ran into a pole and lost his eyesight or something. He was born blind because he was a symbol that everybody in their first birth is born blind. They can't see. It isn't because of sin. It isn't because God is punishing us or we're inheriting a curse. It's because no man sees God until God opens their eyes to something that's bigger than their first birth. And that's why it's not just the example of, well, we're born without the ability to see Jesus because our spiritual eyes are shut until new birth. That's true, and I think that's part of it, but it's bigger than that, because part of the reason we're blind in our beginning is because our beginning's just me and you. It's like my beginning is when I was born. And when I came onto planet Earth, there's Kelly. There was no Kelly before I was born, and now there's a Kelly. My beginning. History is not marked AK or BK. It's BC, you know. Yeah, you know. My beginning isn't important. My end isn't important. It's just me, you know, another human on the Earth. But the beginning, which was God, now that's the big kahuna. That's where all light is. That's where life is. That's what's important, is the beginning that was God. That's Jesus. The Word is the real. In the beginning was the Word, which is walking right in front of this blind man. He's important because he's the one that was in the beginning with God, that was God and that is God and that will always be when this world is over, when natural... It's all rolled up like this guy, Jesus the Word, who's out from the bosom of the Father. He's light, he's life, and he's God, you know. And the Pharisees and the little blind men wandering around there, they're going to be, their beginning isn't as significant. And so they are all born blind to the fact that the light that they have, the view that they have, the information that they have, is just darkness. The Pharisees are watching this whole thing. Well, they know all the scriptures. They know how to say, now he's sinning. Was it for sin that he's born blind? What should he do to get right? Well, we can make him become a better him, a more holy him, a Pharisee him, a scripture searching him. And that would make him have light and life and, you know, like us enlightened Pharisees that have all knowledge and wisdom. And we're not born blind. We see. Remember our last scriptures here. I came that those who say they see might be made blind. Well, these Pharisees are running around going, well, we see. We see that we need to shape up, that we need to make ourselves better. We need to improve on the first birth. We need to get this Kelly, a super Jesus Kelly. And they're like the spy that was too low. Your viewpoint is all about you. Like, all of eternity is focused on you getting better. It's focused on you becoming something great. It's like, you're about as blind as a bat. It's totally not about you. If you want to see something that is light and is real, look at the Son that was from the beginning in the bosom of the Father, that was with God, was and is and is to come, one with God, has light, is life, is fullness. Now when you see Him, you have eyes to see. You are no longer blind when you see Jesus. But if you just see yourself according to this earth, according to how good you're doing and what the people around you think, and how you measure up to the law, then you're walking, you're stumbling around in darkness. And yet the Pharisees really felt like they were full of light, that they were, that man's blind, we see. But the Lord said, no, you know, everybody's blind until they see me, and he's fixing to see, and you're fixing to realize you've been blind your whole life. And so the Lord is using this little guy as an example, because the Pharisees are just watching everything. And so, I want to see, we read the story, what should I do? Jesus is saying stuff before he gets healed, like, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He's trying to clue them in. Who's this I? This is the Word that was from the beginning. This is the Jesus that's the book of John's talking about. I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night comes when no man can work. He's talking about walking in the light of his Father. Not doing his own works, but the light. So he's talking about walking in the light of God too. Jesus is. And so after he's spoken these words, he takes his spittle, spits on the ground, makes clay, and he puts that on the eyes of the blind man. And he doesn't just say, you know, take any old water and wash it off. He says, go to the pool of Siloam, and with that water, wash off the spittle, wash off the earth. Wash off the first birth and you're going to see. Well, it tells us here that the pool of Siloam, the word Siloam means sent. And so Jesus is saying, you don't need to just read the scriptures. The Pharisees do that all day long and they're blind as a bat. You need to read the word that comes, that the word that was sent out from the bosom of the Father. It says in John chapter 1, Jesus was the word who was sent out from the bosom of the Father. We can look that scripture up. It says it in the same book. You need to wash with him who was out from the beginning. You need to be washed with the water of the word that is out from the bosom of the Father, that is the light of life, that is the one who is life and is light and is your life and is your identity. He will cause your blind eyes to see not a better you, but Christ, who is your identity, who is your life, who is your light, like the moon looking at the sun. You know, when you see Jesus, you're not blind, you're not empty, you're not you, you're not better, you're just full of him, you know? And so he said, but you just can't read the Bible, and you just can't go anywhere and wash. Go to the pool of Siloam. Go to the waters that are the heart of the Father, full of how he sees his beloved Son, of how he sees the Son that he sent to become your life. Wash in the waters that are out from the beginning. God, who is the beginning, way before you, way after you, who will catch you up into himself. You'll be dead to this old and found in him, eternally one. You need to drink those waters. Then you'll see. You'll see Jesus. You'll see him who is eternal life. You'll see him who the Father sent to fill all men. Remember in John it says in the very first chapter when it introduces Jesus coming out from eternity past, it says, and I'll just read it really quick because it's important. It all goes together. It says, all things were made by him. This is him who was the word from the beginning. It's right after it. Without him, the word that was in the beginning, nothing was made. In him was life. And this life, which is the word that was from the beginning, is the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it. He is the light. Jesus is the light, and John was sent to bear witness of the light. The word is the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. So see, this is the light that fills the eyes of those who see him. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he declares God. He says, now you must wash in these waters, the waters that were way before you were born and will be way after you die. Find your life in that pool. Find your viewpoint in those waters. Get that light. Forget about your good. Forget about your bad. Forget about your first birth. Forget about your identity in the earth. Find a whole new life in eternity, in the Son who is and was and is to come. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God, who is from the beginning, who is and was and is to come eternally. You are not that little spy running around on the earth failing. Your true identity is up in God, an ambassador out from the bosom of the Father, hid with Christ and God, part of their life. They are your light now. They are your life now. They are your righteousness now. Every man's born in sin. Every man's born completely corrupt, to the bone, to the uttermost. The blood is poisoned. The sin has done. The radiation of sin has made everybody sick. They are poisoned and they are dead. The cancer has done its work. No man is not completely bitten by the adder and full of adder's eggs and poison on their tongue. And we're born in this condition, blind, corrupt, sinned. The only way for anyone to get out of this mess is to wash in these waters, find their life in something that's bigger than themselves, before themselves. John the Baptist said, He is he who came before me. I am not worthy to unlatch his shoes. He was before me, and he is after me. He must increase, and I must decrease. He is the one. I am not the one. I'm not the one that's supposed to become better. I'm not the one that's supposed to increase in righteousness and holiness. I'm supposed to decrease. His life is going to increase. His light is going to He's going to overcome my darkness by filling me with light. I'm not going to make myself decrease. His life will cause me to decrease. The more light that enters in, the less darkness can dwell there. I don't work on darkness. I turn on the light. I don't remove the problem. I look towards Jesus and find my identity. And so this man was such a symbol to Israel. And the Pharisees are like, how did this happen? There's been no man born blind. Now, there were men who got blind that were healed. But no man born blind had ever regained their sight and it not be of this man, they said, must be of God. He said, well, he did it on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath if you're of God. Well, but Jesus is saying, I'm not the one doing the work. My Father's doing it. You're not the one who's supposed to be doing good works and being a good Christian. Jesus is supposed. You're supposed to live in another life. You're supposed to dwell in something bigger than yourself. You're supposed to find your good works coming from Jesus, not you. Your sinless perfection coming out from Christ, the bosom of Christ, through you, the branch. See, Jesus lived the same way we're supposed to live. He said, I have to walk in the light of my Father and walk in His light. Now you walk in me, the light. Everyone's supposed to live in someone else. So that nobody glories in themselves, but dwells in another. Something bigger than themselves. That's the way love is. It's not making itself the center. It's making someone else the center. And so this little story is just totally confusing to the Pharisees. They can't explain it. The parents don't want to, you know, take... It's stirring up the whole religious community because... Someone who's like that shouldn't be able to see, shouldn't be able to be God's person. But Jesus said, I came to heal the blind. I came to heal the sick, to cause the blind to see, to let them to walk. The captive be set. I came for those who couldn't see. I didn't come for those who say they see. I didn't come for those who said they didn't have sickness. I came for the people who had problems because I am their answer. They need me. They need Jesus. They don't need Jesus to make them special. They need Jesus because they're not special. And He is going to be their life. And so the Pharisees hated it. Every time something like this happened, they get more and more jealous because they wanted to be the enlightened seers. The all-knowing God-men. The ones who had the wisdom of God. They didn't want to be blind and have the light of Christ be their knowledge, the life of another be their righteousness. And so they, for envy, they crucified the Christ of God eventually. But who's going to envy Christ when He becomes everything to them? In their weakness, He becomes their strength in their life. And so we've got it made. When we're weak, when we're in sin, when we're blind, when we're empty, Christ is going to seek us out and make us a miracle for people to understand what's going on. They'll go, why did this happen to them? Foolish the not. You know, it says it in 1 Corinthians, those who are not noble, who are not wise. He says that they might confound the wise. That you might become confounded by this blind man. That the power of God does not lie in your wisdom and your righteousness. It lies in Christ being made everything to those who are nothing in themselves. They're going to be a sign to you people that it's not about you getting better. It's about desperate people wanting Jesus to be their all. Desperate because they see that every man is born blind. Every man is desperate, but only a few people admit it. You know what I mean? These Pharisees were more blind, more empty, more naked, more needy than most of the people they ministered to. But they wouldn't admit it. In their own hearts and minds, they were wise and noble and better, and they exalted themselves. So they didn't receive the gospel. They didn't receive the Christ of God. But to those who aren't that way and aren't trying to make themselves better, but waiting for the life of another to deliver them, you know, Jesus is going to look so beautiful. He is really going to be everything to them. And you know what? That blind man didn't fast and pray and earn the right to see Jesus? This is what he did. He went to the water of Siloam, and he washed his earth view off his eyes. The first birth and the dirt of the earth and things down here cause us to not see right. He washed it off with the word that was from the beginning, the word that came out of the bosom of the Father, his identity. He saw. That wasn't fasting and praying and shaping up your act and 12 chanting mantras to get you back into the holy path, or I don't know what you're going to do, holy aerobics or whatever, 10 steps to getting yourself together for God might be the latest wave. He washed the earthen view of himself out of his eyes with the water of the Sent One, the pool of Siloam, the deep waters of the bosom of the Father from whence his word came to us. His Son came that he might fill all men with his light. That's the water. He needed to go wash in those waters, but that's all he needed to do. And the same is for us today. We don't need to improve ourselves, fast and pray, ask God to do something. We need to go to the pool of Siloam and wash in those waters. Every earthly first birth viewpoint of ourselves out of our eyes, until we see him who is our life, the one that was with the Father, always pleases the Father, forever will be with the Father, and say, you're my light, the light that came to light of all men. And that's how I know myself now, not from my beginning, but from the beginning. And what do I have to prove? The Father pleases, the Son pleases the Father. He's in his bosom, and I'm hid with him in God now, in God who is the beginning. Wow. That's good news, man. That's a good spy. They're going to pass from death unto life. Not just the test. So I know the Lord had that because I was...
I love the way I got that together.
Because even Lee's sharing, it was the same spirit. That was the very same heartbeat. And so the Lord, if we can just open our hearts and hold on to that, we've got some really good tools to get us through things that would otherwise really trip us up. Really, we could really get some tripped up on some stupid stuff. Not stupid to us, but stupid in the light of the fact that no man's going to be able to overcome except through these waters. And so the Lord is just wanting to equip us to be with him, to love him, and to not let go. While that blind man was washing, he couldn't see. He had to keep washing until that earth and that dirt started to fall off. So we're not going to see right away, but if we continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what Jesus said in the same book. If we just continue to wash until that dirty viewpoint, that old earthly identity, that self-awareness after the first birth starts washing off, then we will begin to see who we are in Christ and who he is as our fullness. And we just got to keep washing in those waters. And the Holy Spirit does the rest. God's the one who opened his eyes. God did. He did that miracle through that. He opened blind eyes. And he will open our eyes, and we will see Jesus, and we will be full of light, the light which is the life of Christ filling us, his bride, shining like the moon, reflecting the sun's beauty. So, praise God, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should just pray and ask the Lord to... write this on our heart. You know, if we never had another woman's meeting and we never heard another anything, God, just help me to get one thing in me by life. Do you know what I'm saying? Just if I could just take this one thing and the rest of my life identify in Christ in this way, that's good enough for me. You know, I don't need to know all these things. I just want to hold on to some of them enough to be translated out of this old life into him.
Right.
The goal isn't more knowledge or good scriptures. The goal is Christ, man. And I just pray that, you know, even as we end this year and look forward to what God has for us, he has stuff for us women this coming year. New things, I believe. But I don't want us to just be women talking about the scriptures, even anointed scriptures. I want the Lord to be able to change us. You know, it to be more than meetings, but that our hearts would be more of the bridegroom would find place in us. Something eternal, you know what I mean? Something true. So maybe we can just pray for the Lord to continue to just form us in according to His eternal heart for our body. So Lord, we just thank You for Lee and Amber and tonight and Your sweetheart to share Your desire to open blind eyes, not so people can see, but so people can be filled with life and light and find their place in You far above the earth in eternity, in eternal oneness, translated from this old form, from this natural birth, into the new birth that is oneness with Christ forever and ever. And You're the fullness there, Christ. You're all and in all. Lord, we ask that You would teach us how to wash in the waters of Siloam. How to wash there, Lord. I don't think this blind man was some kind of a scriptural genius. He's just a simple boy. And yet he was able to wash in those waters. And Lord, we're just simple people. We want to wash in those waters and we want to see Jesus. Show us how, Lord. Help us to remember to continue, even when we see, still feel blind, that You said He would see. And if we continue in Your word, we will too. And Lord, we pray for the rest of our gatherings, however long it's in Your heart for us to gather, in however, wherever, and in whatever manner You have us to minister to women, Lord. That, Lord, it would be more than good meetings, God meetings, anointed meetings. It's something for eternity, something of Your increase in Your bride that would last forever for Your heart, Lord, would result of that. Would You prepare us, Lord, as a bride in this way? You prepare us to minister Christ to other women in a living way, Lord. Just help us to see our mission on this earth is so much greater than our own perfection and maturity. It has so much more meaning to You in the desire of Your heart for a bride, Lord, that knows You, is conformed to You. We entrust the future, Lord. We entrust ourselves into Your hands, Lord, into Your nail-scarred hands that have already made us one with You. Lord, we just pray that You cover each one of us until we meet again. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name.